You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Friends, how are you? It is good to be with you today. How many of you have heard this quote before? Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. St. Francis of Assisi, it's been attributed to him. Monk, yes, preach gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. There's just one problem with this quote. He never said it. Did I ruin anybody's day? Okay, if so, I'll give you a hug after, I promise. I'll be right up here in the front corner, and I'll love you well. Yeah, he never said it. In fact, the closest that we can get is, no brother should preach contrary to the form and regulations of the Holy Church, nor unless has he been permitted by his minister, all the friars should preach by their deeds. It's funny what we've done with the gospel. Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. In other words, we don't need to share the content of the gospel. It's just they're going to pick it up by the way that we live. And it's fascinating the way that this kind of permeates church culture anyway. I get a lot of parents who will say, well, we want our kids to figure out their faith for themselves later on, so we're not going to push anything on them. And I think, okay, I mean, fair enough. You know what your children need. At the same time, if you believe it's true, would you not pass it on to them? Or similarly, folks have said, actually one superstar pastor has said, the gospel is more caught than it is taught. Maybe. Some of you are saying, who cares? Like, we got a quarterback in Lexington now, and why does this matter at all to me today? This is why it matters. Good deeds don't lead people to Jesus alone. We need the character of Christ, and as we gain the character of Christ, we also get the opportunity to share the content of the gospel of Christ. And it's both of those things together, the character of Christ and the content of the gospel of Christ. That's what leads us to this passage today out of Titus chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. I hear Paul saying legit character should lead to the legit content of the gospel. When people say, why are you so weird? But I like you. Why are you different? Why will you talk to the neighbor in the neighborhood that nobody likes? Why will you help the person at work that drives everybody else nuts? Why are you patient in moments that everybody else is screaming and going crazy? That gives rise to opportunity to say the reason I'm different isn't anything that I've done, it's what the work of Christ has done in me. This message of hope, I now want to share it with you. It's character leading to content. We might simplify it like this. The gospel gives us the right character to be able to share the right content with other people. And this is what Paul is after in this letter today. In fact, if we take all the text and shrink it down and then blow up the big words, you see character words like to be, show yourself, showing, and then you get content words like what you're supposed to do with the gospel. You're supposed to teach it, to urge it, to train. Character leads to content. Why does this matter? Because on Crete, as I've told you for a couple weeks now, the pastors there were a bigger train wreck than I am. So you got a group of people sharing all kinds of crazy ideas, like Zeus was born on Crete, you know, it still exists on Crete. Unless you get special male surgery, you can't be part of the church. False gospel, tearing families apart, money hungry, all of this kind of stuff. And Paul says to Titus, here's the deal, brother. You teach what accords with sound teaching. You teach what accords with sound teaching. Give them the legit gospel. And the beautiful part about it is, if you look at those words again, and you start to circle the people groups in your Bible, you'll find that this is not just for some people, this is for everybody. It doesn't matter whether you're old or you're young, whether you're a man or a woman, or you're slave or you're free. Everybody has an opportunity to model the legit character of Christ, to share the legit content of the gospel. It's for everybody. And so he starts where anybody would in ancient society, with the older men, because they were the revered ones of culture. It says, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, and what? Self-controlled. This word is going to appear multiple times in our scripture today. Self-controlled. Self-controlled. In fact, you go a little further. Notice what it says, the scripture says to us again. Likewise, urge the younger men to be. Nobody wants to say those words. I get it. Self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works in your teaching, integrity, dignity, and sound speech. Here's the thing. Why is self-controlled so key? Because it's hard. Are you with me? It's hard to be self-controlled. Does anybody else struggle with this? Appreciate the honesty convention this morning. We have the people of God. It's hard to be self-controlled. It's hard to be self-controlled when you parent two teenagers. It's hard to be self-controlled. I think I just got in trouble. We'll work on it later. Forgive me. It's hard to be self-controlled when you deal with difficult customers or patients. It's hard to be self-controlled when you find yourself out in public and there's crazy, obnoxious, rude people. It's hard to be self-controlled when you put football on the television on Saturday afternoon on and your team is not doing well. It's hard to be self-controlled when you go to restaurants and they bring you massive quantities of food. It's hard to be self-controlled when all of culture is running in one direction and you know that the gospel requires something different. It's hard to be self-controlled. And this is the reason why it's the pinnacle of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit starts at love. This is the entry point to life in Christ. But self-control, being under the submission and the lordship of Jesus, now you're onto something. Guys, especially, this one I think is hard for us, this self-control bit. And older men are supposed to teach younger men how to do it. Guys, I imagine most of you in here have had that moment where an older guy puts his arm around you and calls you something like son first. And says, we don't do that around here. Have you had that moment in your life? Or you're ready to kill somebody, and they're like, son, let's just back up the train a little bit. Have you had that moment in your life? You got to have that moment. We need older guys to help us do that. And if you're becoming an older guy, I'll let you decide what that age is. We need to do that for one another. Because this theme of self-control, it runs everywhere. In the way that we speak, the way that we our husbands, the way that we parent our kids, the way that we interact at work, the choices we make of what we're going to look on our phones or the movies that we watch or whatever it is. Self-control, so big. And Paul says to Titus, these guys, self-control. But it's not just about men, it's about women too. Notice what it says. It says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. Sounds a little bit like self-control. Holy, disciplined in their behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. So older women, if you're out on Facebook and you're interacting in all the latest whatever politics and you know, let's hate this group and hate that group, probably not the witness. Drinking a bottle of wine a night, probably not the witness. And you know why? Because younger women are watching. And the system for older women mentoring younger women, far more complex and beautiful, as women usually are. Right? So you don't have the son, we don't do that around here moment. You all are 10 times smarter than us guys, and it's incredibly nuanced and very subtle. And to us guys, we're like, oh, that was nice, but see, there's the look right there. Women know what's happening. It's like, well, tell me about that. You always listen first. It's amazing. Well, what about... And women, this is key. The way that you mentor one another. We need it. Younger women love their wives and their husbands to be self-controlled. There's the word again. Self-controlled. Everybody has the opportunity to participate in the character of Christ. In fact, it goes down to even talk about bondservants. Is the scripture advocating for slavery? No, it's not. It's utilizing a first century context and recognizing that there were indeed bondservants. And here's the thing. In a world in which bondservants had no standing, what the gospel says is your character matters. It's on display, and you have an opportunity to share the content of the gospel just like anyone else, because in Christ you are someone. In Christ you are loved. And so he wraps it up and he says, here's the thing, in a Cretan world of power control and struggles and brutes and liars and mercenaries and a culture in which they said, there are no wild animals on Crete because the people take the place of them. Here's the thing. Your character matters. The self-control that the gospel requires of you matters, so that way those who would oppose the gospel would be put to shame and nobody could say an evil word about us. You'll draw people to the content of the gospel by the character in the way that you live. But here's where the quote that's been hijacked gets it wrong. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. It can't end at character. There has to be a moment or moments of content, of sharing. The gospel gives us the right character to share the right content with other people. So let me ask you this simple question. Can you share the content of the gospel? Well, we're going to find out this morning. I would love it. Find a friend or two around you, okay? And in 30 seconds, 45 seconds, doesn't have to be perfect, take a shot at it. Share the gospel with the person around you. What would you say? Ready? Go. 30 seconds-ish or so, start to wrap it up. All right, for how many of you was that hard? Good, appreciate the honesty. For some, first time? How many for some of you, you think, oh my gosh, what if I say the wrong thing? Okay, yep, good, totally honest, appreciate it, awesome. Yeah, some of you thinking, I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to say. That's okay too? Bigger question. Does the gospel matter? Does it matter that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life? Does that matter? Does that truth claim matter? Does it change people's lives? Is eternity at stake? Are people in the world drowning? Okay, so here's the thing. Let's make a connection. If that matters, and if what you have just said is true, shouldn't you be able to share the content of the gospel with anybody, anywhere, at any time? You know, why do you take a CPR class? Because nobody wants to go to the Red Cross, no disrespect, for a whole Saturday. Why do you take a CPR class? So when the moment comes and someone is dying in front of you, you have the opportunity to restart their heart or to stabilize their lives. Yes? Is it any different with the gospel? Especially considering eternity is at stake. I love the shift that happens in this letter. So the front end is all about, doesn't matter if you're man or woman or young or old or slave or free. I mean, we're all one in Christ Jesus. It's all about the character. And then what Paul does is gives us the content. He says to Titus, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession. The most amazing word. The kings who went out to war, when the battle was finished and they would take the spoils of war, the king would take what is most precious. And that's what he took for his own possession. And here, the point is this, that God loved us so much that he took us from the spoils of war when he died on a cross and rose again on the third day. As his own possession, he took his bride, his church. And that's what we're supposed to declare. That's the content of the gospel. That's what we go and share. Declare these things. Don't just use some words if necessary. Don't just hope that it's caught. Don't hope that they get it. Declare it. I don't know how to do it. Well, let me just give you a really simple model here this morning. He came, he perished or he died, and he rose again. You're like, but don't we need to develop relationships and ask people? Yeah, absolutely. Probably not going to start here, but at some point, the content of the gospel, it matters. And it's meant to be shared. I had two clients once. I had more than two, but two that I think about. Two clients. One of them, Christian organization, they made sure that you knew this over and over again. It was like Lifeway exploded in their office. You know what I'm talking about? So they got all the pictures and the paintings and the stuff on the wall, and they were incredibly difficult to deal with. And you were always wrong and bad, and they were always looking for a better price, and you know, if you messed up, oh my goodness, it was like Book of Leviticus kind of stuff coming down on you. The other client, they were not overtly Christian, and you know, kind of sometimes a little, you wonder, how's this whole deal going to work out? But it was funny what happened along the scope of the relationship. They were always kind, always grateful, always said thank you. They were willing to pay for what was fair labor. If you made a mistake, they'd say, okay, well, let's just fix it. We'll work on it together. And so the last week that I worked at the firm, I had lunch with the client of that firm. And he said, Brian, I hear you're leaving to become a pastor. I think that is so awesome. And I said, well, I really appreciate you saying that. And I said, you know, it's funny we're having this conversation because I feel like you're a pretty strong Christian and a witness for Christ at work. And he smiled and he goes, I really am trying to be. And I've started a Bible study and I'm starting to lead people to faith in this work culture, and it's really amazing to see what God is doing and the way that it's changing the culture of this firm. He had the character of Christ to share the content of the gospel, and it was changing people because people saw the truth, they learned the truth, and they could live the truth. And we're called to do the same thing. If you believe that the world is drowning and without Christ, it is on you, not just to live as Christ calls us to live, to have the character of Christ, but to also share the content of the gospel. This week you'll have an opportunity to do it, I guarantee you. Look for it, and when the moment comes, may God strengthen you and give you his spirit to speak the truth in love and declare these things. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love and for your faithfulness and for the gospel that you came, you were born a child in a manger, a feed trough, that you walked among us, that you loved the least and the last and the lost, that you did miracles. And it was our sin and the powers and principalities of this world and those evil ones in the heavenly places that put you to death on the cross. And yet it was on the third day that you rose again in victory. And so you won for yourself a holy people, dearly and deeply loved. May this truth that changes us, from being sinners to saints, be the same truth that changes someone else's life this week. And may that truth change the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Church, every week, imagine at the center of our service is a celebration.